This is Jay Sekulow. Tonight's the second presidential debate. Will the issue of abortion and the HHS mandate be center stage?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Look, I think the president's going to pick and choose the three or four areas that focus group best with Biden versus Ryan, right? I think you're going to hear him talk a lot. I think he's going to figure out a way to get contraception and an abortion.
Yes.
And I think that was clearly Paul Ryan's weakest moment, where Biden's probably one of his strongest moments.
Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. I just refuse to impose that on others.
I don't see how a person can separate their public life from their private life or from their faith. Our faith informs us in everything we do.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We saw repeated attempts to defund Planned Parenthood. And at the federal level, there is no federal funding for abortion care unless it's a case of rape, incest, or the life of a mother, or of a woman, excuse me.
The Democrats have tried to make a so-called Republican war on women, abortion, contraception, the centerpiece of the campaign. And bluntly, it's not working.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. A big debate tonight, presidential debate. It will be Governor Romney versus, if you will, President Obama. President Obama's team saying he needs to score, some are saying, a knockout punch. The issue of abortion and domestic issues related to this HHS mandate look like they're going to be taking center stage. New York Times had an op-ed piece today in their paper, and there is a lot of discussion going on about the statement made by Joe Biden regarding that no religious institution, Catholic or otherwise, is required to do certain things. In fact, let's go ahead and play that soundbite from Joe Biden at the debate, and then the Washington Post did a facts checker on it, which you can imagine how that came out. Let's take a listen to first what he said.
No religious institution, Catholic or otherwise, including Catholic social services. None has to either refer contraception, none has to pay for contraception, none has to be a vehicle to get contraception in any insurance policy they provide. That is a fact.
Actually, it's not a fact. And in the Washington Post said that Biden was referring to the so-called contraceptive mandate, or the what we just call the HHS mandate. He also is talking about the decision made by the administration to fully exempt religious institutions such as churches from the rules, but it did not exempt other religiously affiliated organizations and gave them 1 year to comply. So, Than, this issue of the abortion issue, I think, should probably play a pretty significant role tonight. Again, it's a town hall format, so we don't know exactly how it's going to go, but it looks like it's going to be an issue. Certainly the media is painting it that way.
Yeah, I think it will be, Jay. I mean, every time you have a town hall format type of debate, these issues come to the forefront. Voters in the middle care about these issues, Jay, and they're politically risky for the president because, listen, his base likes his pro-abortion position. They don't mind the HHS mandate in many cases, but they don't like how extreme he is, those undecided voters. So when you talk about a town hall debate format, they're going to come up, and the president's going to have to walk a pretty thin line on it.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to watch, folks. We want your comments on what you're looking for in the debate, how important these issues are to you. What is the issue that's concerning you the most in this presidential election, and how does this debate or these series of debates play into your voting? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, Secretary of State Clinton taking responsibility for the security lapse, if you will, in Benghazi, but no one taking responsibility for the statements regarding the film that causing the Benghazi attack. In fact, UN ambassador from the United States, Susan Rice, said she was just repeating what she was told. So that's going to be, I'm sure, a big issue tonight as well. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air about where you see the election right now and the debates and what issues matter most to you. Let me also say this. We had a good response yesterday. We are moving forward with our petition to both campaigns to let them know that if you're elected president, get rid of this HHS mandate and support religious freedom. It's the, I think, most significant threat to religious freedom there is right now. 23,000 of you have done so online, 25,000 with phones. Call us right now at 877-989-2255 to sign on to this petition today, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to end the abortion pill mandate.
With the presidential election fast approaching, there's one issue that cannot be ignored: Obamacare and the HHS mandate. The mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that includes coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is at the forefront of an intense legal battle to have the HHS mandate declared unconstitutional. The ACLJ has filed several federal lawsuits and is supporting many more, a battle that is likely to end up at the Supreme Court. The fact is, the next president of the United States can bring an end to the HHS mandate with the stroke of a pen. Sign on to our letter going to President Obama and Governor Romney, putting them on notice. The HHS mandate is bad law and violates the Constitution. As the ACLJ pursues the legal fight, we urge the next president to end this mandate the day he is sworn into office. Call now 1-877-989-2255 for online ACLJ.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. Our lines are jammed, so I'm going to get right to them. Let me do say this to you all, though. We have put up on our website at aclj.org a petition to end the abortion pill mandate if elected. It's going to go to President Obama. It's going to go to Governor Romney. And what we are doing is trying to get to 50,000 signatures. Now, I'm happy to report that we've exceeded 23,000, almost 25,000 when you add phones and the emails together right now on this. So we're well on our way, but I need to get there. It's important because the President of the United States can end this attack on religious liberty very easily, simply by getting rid of this regulation. It's that simple. I need you to fight with me on this and to join with me in this battle. If you go to aclj.org, you can sign the petition online, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. It's to get rid of this HHS mandate. By the way, it was put in place by Kathleen Sebelius. It's not required by law that you have religious institutions paying for drugs that induce abortion. And we've gone to court on this, and we've gone to court on conscience cases where we say that pro-life doctors, physicians, nurses, medical assistants should not be compelled to participate in an abortion procedure that they disagree with. Now we've got the President of the United States through the HHS, that's Health and Human Services, mandating that religious institutions do exactly that. We think that's wrong. That's where you come in. Again, we've got this petition up. Go to aclj.org or call right now and add your name to end this abortion pill mandate. It's this the morning after pill. It's the abortifacients. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We've got a lot of calls coming in, fans. So let's go to those because we need to take as many as we can.
Yeah, full bank of phone calls coming in. Let's start with Misty calling from Florida, a big swing state on line two. Misty, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Misty. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me, Jay. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I just want to say that it's just disappointing that President Obama thinks that women are just so ignorant that we would be short-sighted to choose a president over not being educated enough to make a decision about our bodies. You know, it's short-sighted. You know, we know how babies are made.
Well, here's what you've got. I mean, I'm going to let you finish in a second, but understand that the Obama administration and the left generally has put this issue of an attack on women as the play point. So, if you're pro-life, it's an attack on women. And by the way, that same argument was made at the Supreme Court of the United States that opposition to abortion was discrimination against women. I argued that case at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court came to the conclusion by a 6-3 vote to the exact opposite. And they said instead that opposition to abortion is not discrimination against women, that there are men and women of good conscience that oppose abortion. So, again, it's a political attempt here. And I'm going to let you speak in a moment here again, Misty. But let me play for you with Sandra Fluke. This was what she said to Diane Rehm on NPR. And remember, she's the Georgetown Law student. They had her up talking about, a contraceptive, and she needs to have that free under her health care program. But why would you require religious institutions to deal with that, number 22?
I think that it's fine to have the conversation about religiously affiliated universities. But what's important to know is that many, many of the students who attend that school are not Roman Catholic, and many women don't realize when they sign up to attend that they won't have coverage of contraception on their insurance plans.
Yeah, except you're going to a Catholic institution, so they should be able to set their own policies and their own agenda. Now, go ahead and finish, Misty. I didn't want to cut you off there. I just wanted to get that soundbite in.
Well, they're just really big issues, like, children's schools being burning. They're burning those kids' schools in, Benghazi, and that little girl who was shot. And there are real big women issues out there.
Right. Not just abortion.
Abortion, because, it's a hot ticket for women. It makes me feel like they think we're stupid.
Well, I mean, they're playing to a base. That's part of what they've tried to do here. And, Than, it's going to be very interesting to see tonight how that pivot is made, since the pressure on President Obama to perform well is so high on this one.
It will be interesting, but I think it's insulting to women, Jay, frankly, that there's this suggestion out there that free contraception is the issue that they're voting on. I mean, all the polls have said that it's actually the economy and jobs that they're voting on. I also think, Jay, it's significant in all of these briefs we're filing, members of Congress who are women are flocking to them. We've got 8 of them on the brief. So this isn't a gender issue. It's really a religious freedom issue, and I think that's the point that the governor will make tonight.
Well, we're going to see soon enough, folks, because that debate's going to be tonight. We'll have full analysis tomorrow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones. Who's next?
Patrick from Virginia is calling on line 4. Patrick, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Jay. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, listen, I just want to broaden the spectrum here a little bit. I am a Christian who happens to be an African-American who happens to be an active-duty Army officer.
Thank you for your service to the country.
No problem. Thank you for your service as well. The comments that I want to make is this right here. This president, whom I voted for, changed a whole lot while he was in office and evolved into a lot of stuff and did a lot of stuff that he did not promise to do. And the things that he did promise to do, he did not attempt. As a black person in America, why is it that when we're talking about jobs and the economy, unemployment for the black population is at 14%? And I think that's even lowballing it if you really get into the data points, whereas the rest of the country is miraculously at 7.8. He's not talking about that. No one's holding his feet to the fire on that. For the military piece, he repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell and moved to stop defending the Defense of Marriage Act and everything, but nobody's talking about what impact that's going to be on the American taxpayer when you now have to foot the bill for those new gay marriage partners and their kids and whatever that they want to adopt or whatever it is.
There's also another move going on. I want to get your opinion and impression on this if I can, Patrick. And again, I appreciate your service to our country. And that is, in a number of states, the president's campaign has filed lawsuits stopping voting preferences for military men and women and their families, which usually give an extended 3-day period for an early voting or even for an extended period a couple of days after the voting date for ballots to come in. The White House is challenging that, or at least I should say the president's reelection committee is challenging that. I saw Governor Romney today, his campaign entered into a case out of Wisconsin on the side of the military. How do you feel as a military man that you've got the commander-in-chief trying to make sure that these special privileges, as they call them, are not given to military on the voting issue? Because I know when you all are called out for service and deployed, it could be with no notice.
Well, I'm going to give it to you as straight as I know how. Like I said before, Christian first, and then everything else comes second. The bottom line up front is that it's a spiritual or political type of thing that's fleshing itself out. And in the military, we hold certain values that tend to be conservative or Christian. That's why we go and fight and bleed and deploy at a moment's notice, like you just said. Everything that this president and his party and their platform is doing is diametrically opposed to that. Therefore, in order to make sure that those people don't get absentee ballots, that get counted, that don't even get registered, whatever the case might be, serves his purposes. I don't agree with that. I've actually seen it back in, you know, the 2000 election on the other side of the coin. So I think the whole system is kind of janked like that. The other comment that I wanted to go back to was when you're talking about the abortion piece, this president is very pro-abortion, not just pro-choice. And I think I told your screener when I called in, there's a choice that you have between deciding to go out to the club, bring a guy back to your house.
Let me play for you a statement from President Obama. This is when he was running for, it was Senator Obama, then running for the Democratic nomination to president in 2008. Let's take a listen, number 19.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
So this is one position, one promise he certainly kept, and that is he's been the most pro-abortion president in our country. We appreciate your call, Patrick. Thank you for calling in, and thank you again for your service to our country. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Than, let me ask you this. This whole issue on the military voting, we've discussed it. We've filed briefs on the case. What kind of resounding impact is that having in Washington? It looks so petty, on behalf, in my view, on behalf of the Presidential Reelection Committee to be going after this.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think you're hearing, especially from people in states like Ohio, where really the question there, Jay, is whether or not military can have a couple extra days to vote. I mean, you would think that for someone, you know, who's given so much service to the country, who's putting their lives on the line, everybody would be in favor of that. But it really does seem like it's been reduced to a political calculation. You know, the president might think he's not going to win as large a percentage of that vote, so therefore he doesn't support that move. It seems strange, but that's the only explanation that I can come up with for it, Jay.
Interestingly, the headlines in a lot of paper are women turning away from the president. That's going to be interesting to see how the so-called war on women is played out for the Presidential Reelection Committee in the campaign. Again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed, so hang in there, folks. We're going to get to your calls when we come back from the break. Let me give you an update on a couple of things. We have filed two cases on the HHS mandate, declaring that to be unconstitutional. The idea that you can force religious institution, faith-based groups, businesses that have a particular objection to a procedure like abortion and require that their insurance fund those procedures, we think is one of the most significant violations of religious liberty we've ever seen. And President Obama's administration has put that regulation in place, and it can be removed. And what we want to do is send a message as these candidates go to the debates tonight and are campaigning for the next 2.5 weeks here, 3 weeks, that we want to see liberty, religious liberty, religious freedom protected, and that's where you come in. We want you to sign on a petition. It's going to both campaigns, and it's telling them, look, if you become president of the United States, or Mr. Obama, if you're President Obama, if you're reelected, get rid of that HHS mandate. You may be the most pro-choice president in the United States, and if the people elect you because of that, that's the will of the American people. Well, so be it. But let me tell you this, folks. You should vote your conscience. We're not telling you how to vote, but you should not vote for an attack on religious liberty. We need to see that ended, and both candidates can do that. Call us at 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to this petition. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. With the presidential election fast approaching, there's one issue that cannot be ignored: Obamacare and the HHS mandate. The mandate requires companies to purchase health insurance for employees that includes coverage for the abortion pill, a requirement that violates the religious beliefs of millions of Americans. The ACLJ is at the forefront of an intense legal battle to have the HHS mandate declared unconstitutional. The ACLJ has filed several federal lawsuits and is supporting many more, a battle that is likely to end up at the Supreme Court. The fact is, the next president of the United States can bring an end to the HHS mandate with the stroke of a pen. Sign on on to our letter, going to President Obama and Governor Romney, putting them on notice. The HHS mandate is bad law and violates the Constitution. As the ACLJ pursues the legal fight, we urge the next president to end this mandate the day he is sworn into office. Call now 1-877-989-2255 for online, aclj.org.
One 800 684 3110 is the number. That's 800 684 3110, and we're taking your calls, and lots of them are coming in. Full debate analysis tomorrow on the broadcast. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
All right, let's go to Luke calling from Montana on line 6. Luke, you're on the air.
Hi, Luke.
Hi, Jay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, I want to know, is it possible for the Democrats to pack that room with Democrats who will be asking pointed questions at Romney and
at Hofstra tonight at the debate? Here's the thing. First of all the questions are pre-cleared. So that's part of the process here. I don't know what kind of crowd reaction they're going to allow or not allow. Generally, presidential debates, they don't. Until the very beginning, at the very beginning and the very end, you can clap for the candidates. But the questions are supposed to be pre-screened once they've been submitted. That's my understanding, Than. That was the negotiations between both candidates and the debate committee. However, having said that, I know both the Obama campaign and the Romney campaign have expressed some concern over Candy Crowley's statements that she's made regarding how she's going to handle the debate.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about there being plenty of fair questions to choose from, Jay, because that was a process that both campaigns agreed with, both for who got tickets and who got to ask questions. I think there will be fair questions to ask. The question will be whether or not the moderator, Candy Crowley, picks a good sample of them, because she does get to control that. The other thing, Jay, it's going to be important for both of these candidates to be comfortable in this format. This is not behind a podium. This is not formal. It's very informal, very interactive. Some people deal well with it and some don't. That'll be actually a key challenge for both of them tonight.
It's going to be a very interesting format because it's not one that is by nature confrontive. However, President Obama's team has basically let it be known in the press that he's going to be much more aggressive tonight. But this is a tough format to be aggressive in. I've done town halls. I've done debates. Of course, I do, you know, arguments in courts. I mean, it's a different format when you've got a town hall setting. So it'll be very interesting to see. I think a draw, if that's what it is tonight, ends up being a win for the Romney campaign because the momentum shift has been, you know, so far pretty significant in all this. So, again, we'll see. We're going to know soon enough. I do want to encourage you, though, folks, as we're talking about this HHS mandate and a whole host of other issues, we want to kind of wrap up this campaign today because we want to get you some debate information and analysis for the rest of the week. So I want to encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org and sign on to this petition or call us at 1-877-989-2255. Now, we're almost at 25,000 signatures, probably close to 30,000 now with phone calls. We need to get to 50,000, and I really want to encourage you to do that. Help us out on this. Go to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Signing this petition, telling both campaigns, if you're elected, get rid of this HHS mandate. Biggest attack on religious liberty, I think, that we've seen. All right, back to the phones we go.
Let's go to Mary Ellen calling from Illinois on line 5. Mary Ellen, you're on the broadcast.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hello. I just want to make a point from my insurance background and being in healthcare. I understand clearly when they say, oh, the insurance, the church doesn't have to pay for it, or religious organization, the insurance company. Well, we all agree. You're still paying for abortion. However, when some of these organizations are self-insured, that means they, in effect, are the insurance company.
That's
so
it.
They are forcing them to provide that which is against their conscience.
That's exactly correct, and that is precisely why we are actually representing, Mary Ellen, in federal court, business owners, Christian business owners, that are opposed to these plans, and some of them may be self-insured, and most of them have regular insurance policies, or they significantly underwrite a portion of it, but some are self-insured companies. A lot of companies have self-insured or have a catastrophic policy in place where they self-insure up to a point, and then it's they take it a step further and do it if there's a catastrophic situation. So you're absolutely correct, and the idea that you've got to require an employer to violate their conscience just to do business ends up hurting business. And I think that's the end result of what's happened in this HHS mandate. Again, folks, we need you to participate with us. We've got a petition up on the website at aclj.org for you to sign to end this mandate, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. A lot of people are on the phone lines. We're going to be here for another 30 minutes. So, folks, if you're on the line, stay there. We will get to your phone calls. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Than, what are you expecting tonight? What do you think we're going to hear?
I think the president's going to have to focus on a few things. You said this, Jay. He's going to have to be more aggressive than last time, but he's going to have a fine line to draw that. You don't want to overreact. You don't want to overcompensate for that. I also think, Jay, I think he's going to get specific pointed questions from either the audience or Governor Romney on this Libya situation because his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, is taking the fall on that today. I actually don't think that looks good for the president, Jay. I think he's going to have to answer for that tonight, and we're going to see if he steps up and kind of owns it or whether or not he lets the secretary take the fall. I think that's going to be key tonight,
you
know, actually.
Let me give you a very quick analysis of this whole Libya situation. It's a little off topic, but it's something we've covered extensively here. She did not take responsibility for what is obviously the security breach was huge. And it's true that the Secretary of State's within her ambit is the security of those embassies. And that was a giant mistake when we ended up losing four people. Americans have given their life for this. But let me tell you what the responsibility needs to be. That you had the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, and the United States Ambassador to the UN go and make speeches, including the President of the United States making a speech to the floor of the United Nations where he six times invoked a video on YouTube as the reason for these attacks. And then we bought ads in Pakistan apologizing for a film that they knew nothing about until we made it an issue. And then, to me, that's what's going to have to be addressed tonight, is the fundamental mistake that was utilized in the whole approach coming out of the attack, blaming it on a video, was idiotic in my view, to be quite frank. I am reading a book that just came out, an e-book by Andy McCarthy, that talks about the spring fever. It's the Arab Spring issue, and it is phenomenal. And we should probably have some links to that on our website so you can get it. And we had Andy McCarthy on, and I'm sure we'll be getting back into that issue again. But it's significant. But we're monitoring it at the ACLJ. I hope one of the things you all are seeing, we're going to get to your phone calls in the next half hour, so folks, hang on the line there, and we'll get to you. Let me say this, though. You're seeing the scope and nature of the work of the ACLJ, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Because when we talk about Pakistan, we could address it firsthand. You want to know why? Because we have an office in Lahore, Pakistan. We have an office in Strasbourg, France, an office in Jerusalem, an office in Moscow, Russia. We understand, and our staff understands, the scope and nature of what's going on, and that's why we're giving you this information and analysis. That's besides our offices, of course, in Washington, D.C., and lawyers throughout the United States and literally around the globe. So we'll be taking your calls in this next half hour at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But I would like you to do two things for us today. I'd encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by making an online donation. It is tax deductible. It takes moments, and you're helping us stay in this fight here in the United States and around the globe. So let me encourage you to go to aclj.org and fill out the form there, make an online donation of support to the ACLJ. Again, tax-deductible gift, and we really appreciate that. So that's at aclj.org. You can also sign on to that petition on the defunding, or really not defunding, but getting rid of the entire regulation on HHS mandating insurance providers, that would be employers, from having insurance plans that include policies, procedures, abortion activities that they disagree with that violate their conscience. That shouldn't be required on anybody, including religiously and faith-based institutions. We want to see that removed. The petition's up at aclj.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. If you don't get it, listen to it online at aclj.org.
The fact is, the next president of the United States can bring an end to the HHS mandate with the stroke of a pen. Sign on to our letter going to President Obama and Governor Romney, putting them on notice. The HHS mandate is bad law and violates the Constitution. As the ACLJ pursues the legal fight, we urge the next president to end this mandate the day he is sworn into office. Call now 1-877-989-2255 for online aclj.org.